Hi, this is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous Us podcast, and today I have five stories for you. They were written by donor-conceived children, there's a parent of a donor-conceived child, and also a donor. So we have some pretty diverse perspectives here today. Our first story is called Curiosity. I was always somewhat curious about the other half of my DNA, but I was never curious enough, or I guess you could say brave enough, to pursue a search of any kind. I was informed by my mother that I was a donor-conceived child when I was still in elementary school. I took the news pretty well and didn't think of my adopted father any differently. He was my dad ever since I could really remember, so being donor-conceived didn't change any of it. My mother had chosen to purchase sperm from California Cryobank 28 years ago. When I was around 19, I started to think more about the donor and wonder who he is. My mother and I look ridiculously alike. However, there are some differences. My eyes are brown, hers are bluish-green. My hair is dark and hers is red. She has fair, freckled skin, while mine is pale and freckleless. I have full lips and hers thin. I got the nerve to ask my mom more about my origin story, if you will. She told me that she still had some paperwork from back then that she could take a look at. She found his donor number. I searched for California Cryobank online and realized that I could search the site for donor numbers. I found the donor. Brown hair, brown eyes, 6'2", second year in college, European ancestry. That's about all I got. But at that time, that's all I needed to satisfy my curiosity. I also signed up for the sibling registry, but no matches. From there, I just moved on and forgot about it. It wasn't until last month that my curiosity was sparked again. I just wanted to know at least a little bit more about him. I searched Cryobank's site again and decided to try and order an extended donor profile. But, to my dismay, after paying for the profile, the information was not available online. Since then, my mother has been playing phone tag with Cryobank, trying to get someone to email me the profile. In the midst of all of this, she told me that I wanted him to be notified that I exist. I really don't know how to feel about all this. I feel like I waited too long to try and tell him. I don't know if Cryobank will be able to get into contact with him, or if he will even try to contact me back. However, I am nervous as hell. And her second story is from a mother of two donor-conceived little boys, and her submission is entitled, What Have I Done? I'm the mother of two donor-conceived little boys. I'm most likely the enemy image of many of you. After many years of trying, we were told that only donated eggs can help us. And we went on. We were so naive. We thought that everything will be alright as long as we love the child. And we did, and still do. More than words can tell. And we even went on and had another donated child. And now I'm sitting here in tears. What have I done? How could I be so naive and selfish? When I read through the stories here, I understand you so much. All the pain and anger and loneliness. What have we done to our children? They are still so little. Their life is perfect now. But how can I help them when they grow older? If I had come across these stories before, we wouldn't have done it, I'm almost sure. But now it is as it is, and I need to be there for them. Need to help them as much as I can. You might say, stupid woman, should have thought about it first. And you're right. But on the other hand, there are those two lovable, funny little boys. It's hard to imagine that they are not here. And we love them so much. You see my dilemma? I cannot sit here crying for the rest of my life. I need to be strong. I'm the only mom I can offer them. But what have I done? The third story we have today is called Towards Openness, My Donor-Conceived Past, and it was written by a donor-conceived person. For me, my donor conception represents both life and death. The death part is the part that I grieve first. It is the power of secrets and the lengths that people can go to move away from rather than toward openness. This part is about my father and the dilemmas this caused for him. After separating from my mother when I was 8, he found himself in a world where, at some point, she would meet another, and this person would know the ultimate secret in his life. The secret of myself and my brother's biological origin. He came from a family where blood is thicker than water. At the time, they were encouraging him to seek custody of us boys, but in that process, he knew the truth would be revealed. He simply had nowhere to go, caught between a close family bond and the power of a single secret. It was not a world where he could live. He took his own life when I was 10. Then there is the life part, the part that brought me into this world. I was told by my mother when I was 16. She wanted to tell me earlier, but I was still so caught in the loss of my father. I was told two things. That my brother and I were from the same donor, and that no records were taken to protect the privacy of this person. So many questions arose over the months that followed. Why did I feel more close to my father and his family? My grandmother and I were best friends in the loss of our greatly missed father and son. How was I to be when next she told me, "Jay, that is just what your father would say"? And why will my brother and I so different? Will I go bald when I'm older? And so on. Inside of me, I lived in a different universe where magic prevailed, and one of Dad's sperm got through. And to a point to this day, I still do. Inside of my beautiful relationships with family that still don't know. Despite being told there were no records, at 39, I still tried, but to no avail. What did come, however, was unexpected. What came was a gift of compassion and understanding of a world these days that reflects a new era in donor awareness, and an awareness that is in the best interests of all involved. For the first time, I was talking with people that took an interest and cared enough to follow my search through. And it was through this step that I am here. Today, I find solace in the different perspectives on life. Ones that remind me that home is in my heart, and that life can be a stretch. Yet in that stretch, I am able to love, and to learn, and to move towards openness. I love you, Dad. And our fourth story is by a donor, and it's titled, I Am Not Your Father. To the respondent of my message with Love120S, I did not father you. I allowed loving people to have their dream, a child, you. I helped your parents become parents. No child gets to pick their parents. You are no more an object than any other child. All children are objects in their parents' world. You are front and center. You would not be traded for all the world. You will be adored by people who truly want you. You are even more loved and wanted than a biologically standard child. Your parents put in far more effort. A child with your origins will be loved more and have more resources than any other. You will have fewer siblings and be born to someone that desperately wants to be a parent. You will not be considered a mistake, ignored, or neglected, unlike standard children. My family is not your paternal family. If you have a second parent, embrace them. I am not your parent. I am not your father. You have my genes. That's it. Your genetic siblings are not half-brothers and half-sisters. We are not your true family. Your parents are the people that raised you. You were not given up because you would not exist otherwise. You exist because your parents wanted you. I have not disowned my biological children. When they turn up, I will embrace them. I want to meet them. I want them to not have to go through the obvious unhappiness of some of the children on this site. They are not children I didn't want. They are children that simply would not exist. Do you really feel reality would be better off without you? Because if so, you are utterly wrong. You are among the most loved humans ever. I have considered that. It is why donating is the best thing I have ever done, will do, and could ever do. I have helped people have healthy children. All children go through rebellion and growing pains. I believe that is what most of the screams on here are about. Lashing out at your parents is what all children do. I did. Try not to hurt the people that love you. With love, 120S. And our last story today is from a donor-conceived person, entitled, Unfair. Nothing about my conception will ever be fair, and that's the horrible yet honest truth to it all. At first, all I wanted was the little details about him. I wanted to know the color of his eyes when he stared back at someone else. I wished I didn't have to imagine the skin tone he had. I wondered what color his hair was. Ultimately, I came to the decision that those details would be enough, at least enough to tide me over. That right there is the issue, actually. The fact that all those details are ever going to have the ability to do for anybody is tide them over. It's all such a temporary happiness, knowing those little details. For me, my mom was able to fill me in on those little details, since she had recalled what the papers had said. At age 8, that was just enough to know. But the concept of the papers never drifted away. Years passed by, and every night I would spend some of my own time searching for those papers, not knowing what I was looking for or what I would find. Maybe this was the turning point, or maybe it wasn't. When I finally found the donor information papers, all I could do was cry. Everything got more serious than it ever had been. I knew his favorite colors, what animal made him the happiest, his passions. It all got too personal and too unfair once again. It is not fair to get to know such personal facts from a stranger. This was when I knew that I would always want more. I wanted a name. I wanted to be able to stare at a picture of the man who is half of who I am. I deserved more than what his major was in college, or that he was over 6 feet tall. This had me forcing myself to believe that a picture of him would be just enough. Long story short, it wasn't. Knowing his name wasn't enough either. My conception was unfair. Not to my beautiful mother who longed to have a girl like me in her life, but for me. I am the one that lies awake at night, staring at a photograph of some man that was taken in the 90s. The man that is supposedly my biological father. I am the one that changes the subject really fast at the dinner table of my friends' homes when their parents ask, with good intentions, of course, "So what does your father do for a living?" I will always be the one that feels out of place or unsatisfied because nothing will ever be enough for me. I was created through a stranger that probably needed to pay his apartment rent and a mom that spent thousands of dollars for a corrupt girl like me. Some days I just wish I never had the opportunity of knowing any of this. And then other days I wish that I had the guts to type a message to him and tell him what he has missed out on. But I have come to understand that what I want may not be what he wants. Messaging him is pointless. Messaging him will be the last step, It could be the end of the road for me afterwards, and that is too scary to even handle. My conception was unfair, but what would be even more unfair is messing up the life of the man who gave me life. That is our last story for today, but I just wanted to say a quick note. For anybody who doesn't know who their donor is, and whose parents, you know, maybe lost the donor information papers, or maybe they never got the donor information papers, there's a good chance that if you contact your clinic and you let them know your situation and exactly who you are and your donor's number, I don't know if it would work if you didn't have your donor's number, if you just had your parents' information, but I do know that there's a very good chance that if you contact the clinic and tell them that, hey, maybe you lost the papers, or maybe you never got the papers that you were supposed to, that there's a chance that they will give you your donor's non-identifying information. So I just wanted to throw that out there for anybody who maybe didn't know that. I know I get a lot of questions about that. So if you want to know more information about your donor, don't go years, like a lot of people do, thinking despondently that, you know, there's no other option and there's no other way to get the papers back. A lot of times, clinics will give you your donor papers. That's all for today. I want to thank everybody who participated in making this a very diverse episode with all the perspectives. We very much appreciate anybody who writes in through the podcast or through the website. This is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous S Project, and I will see you a few Mondays from now.